Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. This episode is sponsored by TransPDF. TransPDF converts your PDF files into high-quality XLIF files that are ready for translation using your own tools. Then it uses your translated XLIF to make a finished PDF with all the layout and style of the original. TransPDF also handles scanned PDFs, integrates it with MemoQ, MemSource, and OnTram, and it includes free use of Infix PDF Editor for any last-minute changes to your translated PDFs. So I would encourage you to go check it out. You can get your free TransPDF account now and try it for yourself at transpdf.icenii.com, and I will put a link to this in the show notes. And there are special offers available for pros users. Welcome to another episode of Marketing Tips for Translators, where you get marketing and business tips for your freelance career from me, Tess Whitty, and other experts or freelancers in the industry. Today, I want to talk about retirement. During my short time as a full-time employee, my company took care of saving for retirement for me. But after I started as a freelancer and started my own business, it was years and years before I even began thinking of saving for retirement. It was hard. I did not have a regular income. Some months I earned a lot and some months I didn't. So how could I possibly save for retirement then? Eventually, though, I realized that I could not use that excuse anymore and set up a retirement savings plan and account so that I will have something to some money in my golden years. But I am no expert on retirement planning and stuff, so I have invited a financial educator to talk about this instead of me. She's an expert in this. But before I welcome her, I want to feature a listener shout out. And this one goes to Happy Dad 2010, who left a review a while ago. And he says, Tess has been gathering a collection of valuable insights and recommendations for professional translators. I appreciate the breadth and depth of the content. It's a great companion for a walk in the park or a run on the beach. Thank you so much, Happy Dad. I'm so glad I can keep you company on your walks and stuff. And I love that username. But now I want to welcome our financial educator, Jennifer Harder. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here today.
It's very nice to have you here. I hope you're doing well.
I am. I hope you as well.
Yes. I think most of the listeners don't know you yet, or they might have heard about you in the Financial Success Summit. So please tell us a little bit about yourself and your career as a financial educator.
Okay, well, I have a background. I have a bachelor's in accounting and an MBA. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of my corporate life, if you want to call it that, my 9-to-5 life was actually in the not-for-profit world, not-for-profit governmental. But I also worked very closely with small businesses and startups as well. And while I, even though I have not been an entrepreneur, I'm definitely not a translator myself. I am I'm with someone who speaks 10 languages. And so I'm trying to learn, so I definitely have a great appreciation, and I bow down to those of you who know another language well enough to be a translator. That's amazing.
But you know what? I don't speak numbers, so that's your fault.
Okay, that's one. Yeah, and then it worked out. And it all, Actually, it's all very, very similar. So even though I may not be a translator myself, yes, we, you know, any type of small business owner or even a lot of employees have the same questions and the same concerns and want to learn a lot of, you know, a lot of the same things. And so, mm-hmm. And another thing that I know too is I'm guessing that you probably have listeners from all over the world.
Yes.
And even though I'm based in the U.S. and so most of what I talk about is very heavily based in U.S. Terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking with people from all over the world myself, a lot of these things are known by different things in other parts of the world. So while we have a 401k or an IRA, mm-hmm. You know, there's different terminology for the same basic concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So to those people listening, I don't want you to think that just because you're not in the U.S., that none of this will apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And of course, if you have any questions, I am always available. I know you'll be putting my contact information in the show notes so that if there's any questions, concerns, anything, definitely reach out to me. And I'd be more than happy to, you know, go further into an explanation or help you figure it out, because I have no problem going in and trying to make those connections meet.
Okay. So, but you started out as in being employed and working with bookkeeping, right? How did you become a financial educator?
Well, it actually was almost this perfect storm. And I dislike using that term because it's overused, but that's, mm-hmm. there's no better way of explaining it. About a year or so ago, I was a director of finance at a small not-for-profit mm-hmm. on Syracuse's South Side, which is very, very poor. It has some of the largest concentrations of poverty in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of people coming in. And I noticed that, the kids had all the same aspirations as children everywhere. None of them said, hey, I want to grow up and be on welfare, or, I want to grow up and barely scrape by, or, mm-hmm. No child says that, even in the poorest areas. And yet, and the elderly were very, very, it was almost like a very small town atmosphere. The elderly population was very respectful. They get all dressed up in their finest to come to meetings and everything. But somewhere in the middle, people were getting lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started asking the question, what if poverty was optional? And I quickly realized that it already is. So, and I know that's a little bit of a controversial statement, but you see people in the middle of absolutely nowhere with no resources who are able to get wealthy by their terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there really was no reason for it. So then I started wondering, well, at what age do people give up on their dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And I did come up with that answer, but it really wasn't the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
What I finally figured out was that it came down to education. And it turned out at that same time, my daughter is in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And, so she's out on her own now. And I've been very active in 4-H, which people in the USA will, it's a youth organization. And so a lot of these girls that I've seen growing up, they're now in their 20s as well. My daughter, her friends, and they're all experiencing the same thing. And these are kids who came from, comfortable homes where the parents were responsible. They paid their bills. So, these kids really knew what they should be doing, but they were also struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And so once again, it kind of came back to that education. They knew what they should be doing. They just weren't quite sure how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually started, it was more for their sake than anything else, that I actually set up a website and I set up a Facebook group. Just so instead of me talking to them individually, I could talk to them all at once and put mm-hmm. down, give them resources and just be more efficient, because I was very busy as a director of finance.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening was, as their friends found out about it, or their parents found out about it, or other people found out, they kept on wanting to join. So it almost became a business on its own. Mm-hmm. And then in May, the agency that I was working for decided to merge with a larger agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was suddenly not needed. They eliminated the position. And so I decided to just jump in and do it full time. And so here I am.
Good. And I found out about you from the Financial Success Summit last month, or just a few weeks ago, actually. And you spoke about how to plan for retirement. So I would like to ask you some questions on how to do that. What are the first steps for us? Then, most of us are solopreneurs, like we own our own company, but we're only working for ourselves. and we're freelancing. What are the first steps for us to start planning for retirement?
Well, the first step is, if you think about it, is, you know, if you were going somewhere, there's two things you need to know. You need to know where you are and where you want to go. And that's the same thing when it comes to retirement. And so the two most important things you can do is take the time to sit down and figure out exactly where you are. Mm-hmm. So you want to know what assets you have, what liabilities you have, the revenue you have coming in, and the expenses you have going out. And from there, you can actually make, you can call it a budget, a spending plan, income allocation, whatever you want to call it. I know people hate the term budget, mm-hmm. but you can actually figure out what you're working with. So, mm-hmm. you know, because it could be, you may think to yourself, oh my gosh, I don't have anything saved for retirement. But if you have a house, then you're building equity. So that's something that you could tap into down the road, mm-hmm. If you need in your retirement. Mm-hmm. Not that you may want to do that, but you know, it's an option. So it's good to know, you know, like I said, where you're at now. The next step is where you want to be. So you have to figure out, you know, how many years you have until retirement or until you want to retire, and how you want your standard of living to be. Mm-hmm. And for most people, because they're comfortable with what they have now, they may just go with that. That's almost the default setting where you say, okay, I want to maintain the same lifestyle I have now. Mm-hmm. Most people do not want to downsize their lifestyle when they retire. If anything, mm-hmm. they want to expand it and mm-hmm. do even more. So those are the two first major steps in starting to figure for your retirement.
Okay. So I don't know how many freelancers you work with, but one of our problems is that we have an irregular income. Is there like a standard, how can we best decide how much we can set aside for retirement, or should set aside then?
Okay. Well, I will never give you a should. Okay. Because I love, somebody said, I heard it about 3 months ago. They said, stop shooting all over yourself. And I said, I love that. Because uh-huh. as soon as you hear should, it almost has a negative connotation to it. Mm-hmm. So what I give are recommendations. And it's based on a lot of research, mostly about what the wealthy are doing and the ultra wealthy. Mm-hmm. And what is recommended is to set aside 10% of your income after taxes mm-hmm. Used towards retirement. Yeah. And you can almost think of it as like a long-term saving. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a state, in a retirement-specific vessel. Mm-hmm. And we can get more into that a little bit down the road. But the important thing is that you're saving and investing and preparing for that future time when you will, you know, probably will not have a regular income coming in, or not, you know, from working. Mm-hmm. So even though I don't work, I do work with some translators, and I've been lucky as a result of the conference to be able to speak with some translators. Mm-hmm. But it's, like I said, it's basically the same, the issues that the translator have are the same that any small business owner, and actually the same that a lot of employees have. Mm-hmm. So these are very universal issues and questions. Mm-hmm. If for some reason, you know, the big thing is when you have your revenue coming in, and even though it's all over the place, you never know from one month to the next what it might be. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to first set aside some money to pay your taxes, because yes. that's very, very important.
Yes.
And then from there, you have some living expenses, but you want to have a little bit saved for your short-term savings. So you have some emergency savings. Mm-hmm. You want to have a little bit that you can have fun with. Mm-hmm. You want to have a little bit that you can use to give back. You know, some people would call it tithing, but, you know, giving back. Mm-hmm. And some for education. Mm-hmm. And yep. so even if it's just a dollar a week that you set aside for each of those, I'll call them buckets, mm-hmm. There's a mindset shift that happens psychologically when you do that. Mm-hmm. And so you will find that even if it doesn't seem like a lot that you're putting there, whether it's, you know, a dollar a week or $10 a month or whatever, very quickly you'll see that it starts to grow. And then it becomes easier and easier to add more to it.
So mm-hmm. can I say how I solved this problem?
Definitely.
We usually get paid at the end of the month or something mm-hmm. similar. And, I am done with my accountant is done by the 6th of the next month or something. And so I decided if I'm ever going to do this, like I said, I don't speak numbers. I'm not very good with finances. So I decided to have I calculated how much I usually have on my account or minimum every month after mm-hmm. the accounting. And then I set up a lump sum that is automatically deducted on the 10th every month for retirement and for the emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I solved it. And the sum is like, I always know what it is, and I can mm-hmm. always check after my accountant is done that I will have that left over. but it's small enough that I do always have that. So
if you don't mind, and that's a great thing to do. I love that, you know, at least you have a set amount, you know what you're doing. I'm hoping that when you have extra money in a month, if
yes,
you ever like
yes.
an extra bonus, maybe put a little bit more in there.
Yes, I actually have two accounts. So the extra money always goes into like I have a sort, it's sort of the either the emergency, but it's also mm-hmm. like I have two retirement accounts, so I can
okay.
one that I can access if I need to, but I put it there and then I also put more into the retirement. Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's excellent. Yes. You are definitely approaching it in a very logical, responsible way. And that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And the next question I have for you, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here.
Sure.
But do you know where you are in respect to where you want to be? Are you on target to meet your goals?
Yes,
yet,
because or? I set it up with, is it Ameritrade or something? It's an investment
okay.
company, and they sort of you can set it up the goal when you want to be able to retire and how much I need and sort of they gave recommendations, and then I sort of adjusted it to that, and also I told them this is what I have and you can like move it around as you see fit, but this is where I want to be.
Okay, wonderful, good. That's great, because a lot of times people, you know, they have no idea, you know, where they're at in that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
No, that's a wonderful thing to do. One thing you may want to be a little cautious about, and
mm-hmm.
this will go across the board for everyone, is the more control you give to a brokerage firm or an investment firm
mm-hmm.
to handle your money and mm-hmm. make those trades on your behalf,
yes.
the higher the fees and the more it eats into your savings. So just
that
be a little
that is that. True, but I just know I would not. I'm the kind of set it and forget about it
okay.
person.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But
okay,
yes,
wonderful.
That's true. If some people are interested and can keep track of it, I just mm-hmm. want to make sure that it's all like set up and I don't have to worry about it.
Yes, yes, exactly. And that's why so many people like index funds, because they just have to match what the market is doing. They're not saying they're trying to beat it. They're not having to buy and sell and trade and do all
mm-hmm.
these crazy things to try and keep things going. So,
mm-hmm.
So, that's
so speaking about these accounts and stuff, then are there specific accounts that we should consider as a freelancer?
Well, you do have a lot to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, setting something up with an Ameritrade or an E-Trade or I'm trying to think some of the other ones that they have. But, you know, they have a bunch of them worldwide, you know. Setting up something like that where you can go ahead and buy and sell your own
mm-hmm.
Stocks, your shares in the stock market
mm-hmm.
is a really great and easy way to do it. And there's a couple different ways. Like I said, I already mentioned the index funds. You have bonds. You have mutual funds. Mutual funds cost more than index funds in fees. So
yeah.
Just be careful. And I mean, the big thing is education. Once again, I'm going to come back to that because
mm-hmm.
you really have to make the best decision for you. So
mm-hmm.
get on X, do a lot of, ask a lot of questions. But there are also, I have a number of people that I know who will buy individual stocks. So they will buy shares of Disney or Ford or, Fiat or Google or Apple.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly, you know, major companies, and so they're pretty stable, and the chance of them, you know, disappearing tomorrow are pretty slim. And so they, and that way they just buy the shares and pay the fee once, and they don't have to worry about another fee until they sell them. So that's another way of doing it.
I think that's how my children have actually done it. We gave them a sum that they could invest for their graduation, high school graduation. And yes, they have also invested in their favorite companies, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
Took a while to get them to do it, but...
Yeah, I know my daughter bought Disney because she's still, you know, in her 20s. She loves Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those, and there, I always recommend two criteria when you're, if you do decide to buy and sell shares of stock individually yourself. One is that you want to make sure that it's something that you agree with ethically, you know, that it aligns with your values.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what those things might be, you know, if you're health conscious, you might not choose Coca-Cola, or if you're concerned about workers' rights, you may not choose, I guess, I know Nike's had a lot of controversy. I should be picking on individual stocks, but individual companies. And then the second part of it is, so make sure that that company aligns with your values. And then the Motley Fool talks about something called the snap test, which basically is, if you snapped your fingers and that company disappeared tomorrow, would people miss it?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can think about, you know, when you're talking about like a Disney or an Apple, you know, if all those products disappear tomorrow, people would miss them.
Yes.
And so when it can pass both of those tests, then it's usually a good stock for you to purchase yourself and hold on to. Hold on for the long term. Because you know the stock market's going to go up, it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it's something you believe in and you enjoy the product yourself, then, you know, chances are it's going to recover from any downturns.
Mm-hmm. Now, here in the United States, there's the 401k and there's the IRA and stuff. And from what I understand, for freelancers, there's something called, or entrepreneurs or company owners, there's something called SEP IRA, correct?
Yes, there is, yes. And, you know, IRAs are great. Retirement vehicles, retirement-specific vehicles are, you know, there are some benefits, the biggest one being that you do not pay taxes on any income that you invest in your retirement account in the year that you earn it.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is that you will be paying taxes. The government never lets you get away with no taxes.
Yes.
You know, the government always wants their money. And as far as I know, every government is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is you're going to end up paying taxes on that money at some point in the future. And you do not know what your tax bracket is going to be at that time. So
yes,
you go from having a known tax bracket right now, mm-hmm, to an unknown tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, we actually have very, very low tax rates right now here in the U.S. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's definitely something you want to take into consideration. And if you decide that you need that money, if something were to happen before you reach the age the government says that you're allowed to take that money out, they're not only going to charge you taxes on whatever money you use, but they're also going to charge you a 10% penalty for, mm-hmm, for taking out your own money.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, I am not a very big proponent of using an IRA or even a SEP IRA.
Okay.
401ks I like only because the employer has a match in there, and so you basically get to double your money,
mm-hmm,
right off the bat, which is a nice perk.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, I mean, that's, if you decide that an IRA is the way you want to go,
uh-huh,
then definitely check them out. Check out the, you know, how the tax implications, you know, a lot of times you can talk to a professional and get that information for free, you know, and I always like, if, you know, if one person wants to charge you, hang up and call the next person, because there's so many people out there that you will find someone who will give you free advice on those items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but really what you can do this that works just as well is, just like you said, you have a second retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a long-term savings as opposed to a technical retirement account.
Yes.
So really, any investments that you have that you're making now, any investments that you're making, any savings that you're saving, you can use in your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And so for many, many people, unless there are, very specific circumstances where using an IRA is actually more beneficial, but for the majority of people, if you just go ahead and invest your money and pay taxes on it now, mm-hmm. you'll actually be better off in the long run.
Okay.
And once again, I know that's I tend to be a little controversial,
uh-huh.
but if you run the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be, we tend to talk, when we think about retirement, we think about long-term savings, we tend to think about the stock market.
Yes.
That's not the only thing that's out there, though. There are so many options available. You have cryptocurrency, you have bonds, you have insurance, annuities, real estate. A lot of people, and a great way to develop some long-term wealth,
mm-hmm.
and almost, there's no such thing as true passive income, but it's the closest thing to passive income,
mm-hmm.
is to have rental real estate,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you have a really good property manager or you're really handy yourself and take care of yourself.
Mm.
Those are the two. You don't want to just, where people get in trouble with rental real estate is they buy something and they either have no idea how to run it or they find somebody that is untrustworthy,
mm-hmm.
who takes it. Them. So
I know. My husband likes fixing things.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, I think we actually took a loan on this house to buy a rental property,
okay.
a sixplex, and we call it our retirement.
yes, exactly. And the wonderful thing is that if either one of you found yourself without work,
mm-hmm.
their rental property still has money coming in every month.
Yeah.
And so they really are. Rental real estate, and like I said, unless you end up, really having no idea what you're doing and making some very, very bad judgments, it's a great way to earn money. I have two rental properties. I'm getting ready to close on a third.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's true. I'm good to go. I can go without income for a very long time because I have that rental income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know that you have that fail-safe. And in the meantime, you're gaining equity. So down the road, when you get ready to retire, you can always sell it. And then you'll have the cash from it. There's all sorts of tax breaks. And so
Yeah. It
really is. Rental property is really just a win-win-win. And especially for the younger people out there who are listening, and it may apply to somebody older too, especially, if you've gone through, divorce or starting over, whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy here in the U.S., up to a 4-unit house, so up to a quad,
mm-hmm.
you can live in one of the units, get it as a personal mortgage, so you can take advantage of an FHA loan, or I can't remember if it's Freddie Mac. I just did a thing on mortgages in our group a couple days ago with a mortgage guru, but but there's a couple of options where you have very, very low down payments. And so you could actually have all of your tenants paying your mortgage, your insurance, your maintenance taxes, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can live rent-free in one of those units and still be building equity and taking advantage of it as a rental property, but getting the mortgage benefits as a personal property.
Yes. And that is a great idea. So this is what I, now that I have children that are out of the house, I feel like I wish they would care about this. But I also know that I didn't care about this when I was in my 20s even. But
mm-hmm.
You have tips. I know you have a course. Is it ready or are you developing a course on how...
I do have a course for getting started with investing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a mini course. It's $97. It's available on my website.
Okay.
And it's literally in a couple hours, you could be up and running and going from completely overwhelmed and confused about the stock market,
mm-hmm.
to confidently making your first investment.
Okay.
I understand it's very, very overwhelming for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know most people are. I was actually very interested in investing and money, even as a teenager, even back in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I know most people are not like me. And so that's why I wanted to make something that was very easy and actionable. That they could get that quick win very, very inexpensively. Mm-hmm. And I do offer one-on-one work, but really, as part of being a financial educator and just having this passion for helping, I mentioned to you before, I mean, truly, my life's mission is to help at least a million people become financially empowered and break free of the paycheck to paycheck lifestyle, mm-hmm. and all the stress that comes along with that. And, all that education, just becoming educated and empowered by 2030. And so with that happening, the biggest thing that I could recommend to people is you can check out the website. It's great. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of resources on there. Mm-hmm. But even better is if you join the free Facebook community, you can ask your questions. There are other people going through the same thing. It's a shame-free zone that we can talk about anything. And I do weekly lives. And I also have people who come in from various areas of expertise. We've had a energy healer on. We've uh-huh. done. We've had a fitness and wellness expert on. Uh-huh. We just did all things mortgages this week. Okay. And so, that would definitely be a great resource for all of your listeners. And as I like to say, I know I'm not the only expert out there. So I always recommend that you listen to various sources. There's so many people out there and there's so many different opinions. Mm-hmm. So really go out and figure it out for yourself. Listen to a bunch of different opinions. See what resonates with you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of groups available and there's books. There's all sorts of stuff. And so, find what works for you and go with it. Mm-hmm. And make sure that it's someone who has your best interest at heart. I know there are some people out there who are making a lot of money. They just push whatever their course is, whatever their book is, whatever's going on. And they're almost like used car salesmen. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other people out there that have proven what they're doing, that they're successful and they give away a lot of information. And so, definitely if my courses or if my group is not the one, go and find somebody else who is and learn from them and ask those questions
Definitely put a link to your website and your Facebook group so people can go check it out. Now, I want to ask you, since you talked about books, have you read I Will Teach You to Be Rich?
Yes, I love Ramit Sethi.
Like I said, I'm financially illiterate, but that is one book that I actually really liked. It was very easy to understand, and he's not saying that we have to skip our latte because we need to save money. He's like giving concrete tips that are resonating even with young people, I believe.
So. Yes, exactly. And I have to say, I have not actually read his book, but I have, I've been to his website. I'm on his email list. Mm-hmm. But it is true. He's one of those ones who's just giving away a lot of really valuable, great content. Mm-hmm. And he's an excellent resource.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go, do you have any concrete tips then? We talked about young people and how it's great if you start investing early because then the money has a chance to grow more. But so mm-hmm. what should we think about when we're saving for our retirements, let's say, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s? Do you have any tips for
okay.
that?
Well, 20s and 30s, that's the easiest time to, it's like that old Chinese proverb that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, yeah. and the next best time is today. So
yes.
in your 20s and 30s, it's not the highest priority. There's so many other things you have to pay. You have student loans. You have, mm-hmm. you want to get married. You want to buy your first house. Mm-hmm. You want to go and travel the world.
Yes.
There's so many other things to tempt you. And just buying things in general. You're getting your first place and furnishing it and buying clothes and getting the mani-pedis and going to Starbucks and all those fun things, mm-hmm. But that really is the best time to get started if you can. Mm-hmm. And if you do find yourself, usually by the 40s, this is where I get a lot of people coming to me, lots of women especially, mm-hmm. is in their mid-40s, maybe early 50s, and they've done all the things that they were supposed to do. They went to college. They traveled the world. They met their partner. They settled down. They had kids. They bought the house. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they go, oh, my gosh, I am halfway through my working life and I am not going to be able to retire. And they're in panic mode.
Yeah.
So do not panic. If you're in your 40s, 50s, even early 60s, and you have not really started to invest yet for retirement,
uh-huh.
it's not too late. Okay. You have to be a little bit more creative and a little more dedicated, but by that offside, you should be in a little bit better place to invest more. And so that's where you really, once again, you want to come back to, where are you now? Exactly what do you have? Mm-hmm. You know, where do you want to be? When do you plan to retire? You may have to put off retirement a few years, but it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And you have to take into consideration, especially if you're here in the U.S., you have your Social Security that you can dip into. There may be other things. You may be downsizing the house because the kids are going to be moving out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you want, and hopefully you don't have that much in debt. And so, you know, it's just a matter of putting more money towards retirement and really saving as much as you can and being strategic about it. And then, you know, by the time you get to your 60s, you're really, that's where it becomes a lot more difficult. That's where you're almost trying to just mitigate the damages. And so once again, you may have to put out retirement a little bit more. You may have to figure out ways you're just going to supplement your income long term. It may be something, you know, as simple as, you know, getting a piece of rental real estate so you have that rental income coming in every month that you can rely on as income. Or, you know, it may be that you have to, you know, sell the house that you're in and really, really super downsize in order to the proceeds from that. So, you know, there's still options available, but it does become more difficult the older that you get. So, you know, I guess the moral of the story is just start young and just be consistent.
Yeah. That's great advice. Now, lastly, this is a marketing podcast too, and I always ask this from everybody I interview, and you have your own company. So what marketing strategy works really well for you right now?
You know, my best marketing strategy, and I am definitely not a marketing person by any stretch of the imagination, but is actually just word of mouth. People like what they hear. They like what my advice is. And so they refer me to their friends. And that is actually, I've had much more luck with that. I did do a little bit with Facebook ads. But I'm not really, I found that, you know, the majority of my, my clients or, you know, students, whatever you want to call them, you know, come from just word of mouth referrals.
Okay.
So I just think it's a matter of, you know, if you put out great content and you really know what you're doing, you know, people recognize it and they appreciate it.
Yes. So true. Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. And we will put a link to your website and to the Facebook group and even to the book that I talked about in the show notes. So thank you, Jennifer, for coming on to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was such a wonderful chat. I really enjoyed chatting with you tonight.
I enjoyed chatting with you too, and I also want to thank you, the listeners. So, as you said, anytime is a good time to start investing in your long-term financial security. And if you're committed to being your own boss and feel that saving money to fund financial freedom when you grow older is important, now is the time to start for all of us. No matter how old you are. And I know this sounds like a dream for beginning translators that are struggling to earn enough every month, but as soon as you can, start putting away a little bit every month for retirement. Also, one of the advantages we have as freelancers is that we can extend our careers longer if we need to. We often love our work and can enjoy our flexible schedules, but we should still be saving for, like I say, our golden years. So thank you, Jennifer, again, and thank you to the listeners. I hope you found these tips valuable. If you like this episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app and leave me a review or share the episode with anyone else that might benefit from it. Thank you, have a great week, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@translators.com. marketingtipsfortranslators.com.